In the 4th century AD, there was a religious leader whose name was John Chrysostom. And he lived his life in faith to God, and he was executed for his faith to God. And shortly before his execution, he made this statement: "You are but a poor soldier for Christ if you think you can overcome without fighting, and suppose you can have the crown without the conflict." You know, when I think about this statement made by this man, I think of the idea of us as Christians being in a war, being in a battle. And I think maybe sometimes this confuses us as to actually what is taking place when we look at ourselves as being in a war. And you know, as Christians, sometimes we fight a battle within ourselves, thinking that we are expected to make some great thing done on our part to receive heaven, that we expect to make it to heaven by our own goodness and by our own works. But folks, we need to understand right off the bat, we don't earn our salvation. There is nothing physically that we can do to earn our salvation. You see, it is God that gives us the victory over sin. It is nothing that we do to earn it, because no one deserves heaven. But God, through His love and through His mercy, has given us an opportunity to go there. But at the same time, we need to also understand that salvation is not passive. Yes, we are in a spiritual war, and God expects us to be His spiritual soldier. And He does expect us to fight in this war. So Mr. Chrysostom is right. Don't think that you can win the battle or receive the crown without getting into the fight. We must all get into the fight. Now, I think a very good example of this is found in the Bible, in Joshua chapter 6, as we read the story of the Battle of Jericho. Now, the children of Israel has just reached the entrance into the land of Canaan, and Jericho is the first major battle that the Israelites are going to fight. Now, they have already had some skirmishes, but this is the first main battle for the Israelites in the Battle of Jericho. Now, one thing we need to understand: victory is given by God. We need to know that. Well, let's get into the story. Joshua sends out 2 spies to view the situation in Jericho. With great boldness, these 2 men enter into the city of Jericho. Now, they're very careful about their surroundings, and so they hide out in the house of Rahab the harlot. Rahab informs the spies that the people of Jericho have been afraid of the Israelites now for quite some time. They have heard about the Israelites. They have heard about the parting of the Red Sea. They have heard about prior skirmishes and victories over King Sihon and over Og. In fact, these heathens of Jericho have more respect for the power of God than the Israelites themselves did. Now, we arrive at Joshua chapter 6, and we find here that God is giving direction to Joshua as how to fight this battle. Now, the city, even though they feared the Israelites, they were well prepared for a siege. They were shut up completely to keep the enemy out. But we can go back to Exodus chapter 23 and verse 27, and we find a promise that God has made to Israel about the land of Canaan. He said, I will send my fear before you. I will cause confusion among the people to whom you come, and will make all your enemies turn their backs to you. In other words, they're going to fear you. They're going to want to run away from you out of being afraid. Now, I want you to notice something that has already been read to us. Let's read it again. Joshua 6 and verse 2. God says, see, I have given Jericho into your hand, its king and the mighty men of valor. Basically, what God is telling them is that they're already looking at a defeated city before the battle is even fought. God has already won the battle, and not one spear has been raised. Not one sword has been raised. All they have to do is claim the victory. And the way they do that is through obedience. Now, church, here is the message. Well, it's happening here. There we go. Salvation is from God, but we must claim it through our obedience. God is giving us eternal life. It is ours to have, but we have to obey. Now, you know, in the story of Jericho here, obedience could have been challenged by the Israelites because of the unusual way that God said, you're going to take it. Now, in what God had actually done was instructed that the entire army of Israel was to march around Jericho once a day for 6 days. At the end of the seventh day, the priests were to give an extra long blast on the horn, and then the entire nation was to shout with a great shout. It was at that point that God promised that the walls of Jericho would collapse and fall to the ground, and the people could just simply enter into the city and overcome it. Now, let's say that you're one of these soldiers, and Joshua comes up to you and he says, the Lord has said, we're going to walk around it once every day for a week. And at the end of that week, we're going to walk around it 7 times. Now, I don't know how big Jericho was. It was probably a major city. It would have probably taken all day to walk around it 7 times. I don't know. Maybe you couldn't even have done it without running. I don't know. But can you imagine what these men of might, these military men must have thought? Joshua, you got to be crazy. We're just going to walk around it and the walls are just going to fall down? Well, this seemed like a foolish thing to happen. But, as always is true in Scripture, people overcome with faith. Now, let me assure you, it wasn't the sound waves of their shouting that knocked those walls down. It wasn't the fact that the Israelites had cracked the walls with the vibration of their marching around the city. The fact is, and Hebrews says it really simple in Hebrews 11 verse 30, by faith the walls of Jericho fell after they were encircled for 7 days. By what? By faith. In other words, the marching didn't do it. The shouting didn't do it. The blowing of the trumpets didn't do it. Faith is what did it. Faith and obedience brought those walls down. The Israelites had marched around those walls just exactly as God had instructed them to do for 7 days. And those walls came down. And I want to tell you, my friends, the same thing is true today. Faith and obedience. You know, many people have questioned God's obedience or God's method in even preaching the gospel to the world. In fact, Paul makes reference of the foolishness of preaching in 1 Corinthians 1, verse 21. But yet, his generation, his time on this earth, through preaching, carried the gospel to what was known as the entire world. It worked. This foolishness of preaching worked. And let me tell you something, friends. It will work today. Because the gospel is the power of God unto salvation. Now, for the rest of our time, I want us to make a comparison between the walls of Jericho and our salvation. I think there are several things that we can learn here when we think about these walls and how they came tumbling down, as the children's song says, and our salvation today. And I want to begin with this. Christian, you can be assured that you will have a victory. Victory is assured. Joshua 6 and verse 2. I have given Jericho into your hand. I am giving it to you. It is yours. It's done. You've won. You haven't cast the first stone. You haven't thrown the first spear. But the victory is yours. Now, by the same token, we have had something to put into our hands. Listen to John in 1 John chapter 5 and verse 13. He says, "These things I have written to you who believe in the name of the Son of God, that you may know that you have eternal life." You know, one of the things that really bothered me, and I hear this all the time, someone will come up and say, "Are you saved?" And almost the answer is almost the same. "Well, I hope so." Or, "I think so." Folks, are you saved? You're sitting here today, a baptized believer. You have obeyed the gospel of Christ. You follow Christ. You worship Christ. You serve Christ. Are you saved? You need to know it. We have one in here that just said it. We need to know it, folks. If you don't know that you are saved, you need to go back and look at your Christianity again. We can know that we are saved. John, by inspiration, is informing his readers. He is writing to them so they can know that they are saved. We're just like Jericho. It's ours. It's done. We know that we have salvation. And there should be no doubt as to who made it happen. And there should be no doubt as to why it happened. Sin entered into this world and completely messed up God's original plan for mankind. So he had to send his son to solve this problem. It was a gift of God. Now, here's the question. Those walls of Jericho. Gift of God, right? God did it, right? Would those walls of Jericho have fallen down if they had not marched around that city the way God said? Would those walls have fallen down if they had not shouted on that seventh day? Would those walls have fallen down if those trumpets had not blasted and everything had taken place the way God said do it? No. They would have stood firm and have repelled the Israel army. As far as Jericho was concerned, marching around those walls and then blasting trumpets and that shouting was simply trust and faith in God that he would bring those walls down. Every man, as they was walking around that city, they knew that walking around that city would not bring those walls down. They knew that God would. Same thing is true with us today, folks. Our obedience to God's plan is all that will save us and nothing else. Now, let's talk about something else. As we look at our religious lives today, as we read God's Word today, the New Testament that has been given to us, are there commands? Do we have commands today that we need to obey? All right, let's look over them, okay? First of all, here, that's one. We have a list of five things to become a Christian that the Bible teaches. We are to hear the Word of God, right? Right. Romans 10:17. So then faith comes by hearing, and hearing by the Word of God. Then Jesus said in Luke 11:28, more than that, blessed are those who hear the Word of God and do what? Keep it. Now, so to be blessed, we must obey this command to hear His Word. Which, by the way, is our job. To see to it that people hear the Word. All right? We are also told to believe that Word. We are told to believe in God, that He is God, and that Jesus is His Son, right? Okay. Is that a command? Absolutely. Jesus gives us the command, John 8:24. For if you do not believe that I am He, you will die in your sins. Now, how much plainer can you say that? So we understand, okay, not only do I need to hear this Word, I need to believe this Word. All right? Well, let's move on. We also know that there must be a change of life if we're going to be a Christian. We must repent of the things that we have been doing that are contrary to God's Word. In other words, repent of our sins. Is this a command? Yes, it is. Again, Jesus gives us this command. Luke 13:3. I tell you no, but unless you repent, you will all likewise perish. Okay, now wait a minute. He said the same thing for belief, didn't he? We must believe. If you don't believe that I am Him, you will die in your sins. Now, if you don't repent, you're going to die. Same result, didn't it? So, the same command. We must do both of these things now in order to avoid death. Well, let's move on. Confess that Christ is God's Son. We do that, don't we? Every one of us who have been baptized into Christ, before we were baptized into Christ, we either said it or we affirm the fact that we believe that Jesus Christ is the Son of God. Every one of us did that. Is that a command? Yes, it is. Well, Jesus is going to do it again. He's the first one to mention this. Matthew 10:32-33. Therefore, whoever confesses me before men, him will I also confess before my Father who is in heaven. But whoever denies me before men, him will I also deny before my Father which is in heaven. Wait a minute. If Christ denies you, you're lost in your sins. If you do not repent, you are lost in your sins. If you do not believe, you are lost in your sins. It's the same result, isn't it? So this is a command. This is something that we must do. All right. Well, let's move on. baptism. Baptism goes all the way back into the Old Testament. Baptism of fire. Baptism of belief. John came baptizing not for remission of sins, but for repentance, for that change of life. We look at New Testament baptism as given to us in the book of Acts. Is it a command? Many people will tell you no. Jesus said it was. John chapter 3 and verse 5. Most assuredly I say to you, unless one is born of water and the Spirit, he cannot enter into the kingdom of God. Now, let me clear up an issue that people in the religious world try to preach. Water and Spirit. The water baptism is the physical birth. No, it's not. When he came to Jesus and asked this question, he had already experienced that earthly birth. Because he even asked the question, Nicodemus, his name just came back. Am I to go back into the mother's womb a second time and be born? No, you've already done that. That's not the water birth Jesus is talking about. You have a two-part birth coming up now. Water and of the Spirit. Water part being the physical water of the baptism. Spirit being the Spirit of God lining upon you. Now, let's move on. Acts chapter 2, verse 38. We talked about Acts 2, 38 in the Bible class this morning. Repent and let every one of you be baptized in the name of Jesus Christ for the remission of sins, and you shall receive the gift of the Holy Ghost. Is that a command? Now let me ask you this. Is all of it a command? Or just part of it? All of it. Let me tell you why. Let me tell you what the majority of the denominational world has done to this verse. They have accepted the repent part. They have accepted Peter's words that you should repent for the remission of your sins. But what they have done, they have rejected the baptism part. And now they have picked back up the part where Peter said about receiving the gift of the Holy Spirit, because every one of them will tell you they have the Holy Spirit. Because they have repented. But let me tell you about this verse. Here's the fact of Acts 2, verse 38. Peter's command here in Acts 2, 38 is a 1 plus 1 equal 2 situation. You see, 1 plus 1 will always be 2. Is that right, Will? Yeah. Well, that's one of the first things we learned in school, wasn't it? Probably the first thing we did at all in math was 1 plus 1 equal 2. And that will always be. Because these are the only two figures that when you add them together, you're going to get the number 2. 1 plus 1 equal 2. Now, by the same process, repentance plus baptism equal the remission of sins. And there's no other way to look at that. It's a 1 plus 1 equal 2 situation. 1 plus 1 will always be 2. Repentance and baptism will always equal remission of sins. Now, again, In 1 Peter chapter 3, verse 21, Peter reinforces this commandment by says there is an antitype by which now saves us, baptism. Now, I just read that from the New King James Version of the Bible. A lot of folks don't like the New King James Version of the Bible. They want to go back to the King James. Okay, let's go back to the King James Version of the Bible. The like figure whereunto even baptism doth also now save us. Using the old King's English, it says the absolute very same thing. Well, a lot of people say, well, the old King's English, well, it's old, it's out of date. You know, we need something modern. We need the modern translation. Okay, well, let's go to the NIV. And this water symbolizes baptism that now saves you also. Wait a minute. That's the NIV. That's one of the latest versions of the Bible that we have. And it's saying the same thing. Well, one more. The New English Standard, which is one of my favorites. baptism, which corresponds to this, now saves you. You can't get away from it, folks. It's a command. Practically every Bible translation reads it this way, and so did the original one in Greek. Now, last question about God's commands. We agree all of these are commands, right? I think I've proven that this morning. Now, the last question is, when? When do we reap the rewards of God's commands? There it is. When we obey them. Simple as that. And you know, you go all the way back to the beginning and it's always been that way. Noah, he had to follow God's instructions in building the ark, and he gave some pretty explicit instructions, didn't he? He told Noah how long to build it. He told Noah how wide to build it. He told Noah how high to build it. He told him what kind of wood to use. He told him how to hold that wood together. He told him one door and one window. And if Noah had changed any one thing about building that ark, do you really think it would have floated? No way. That boat floated because Noah did it God's way. Noah obeyed God's commandments. Moses and the Israelites, they had to obey God's commandments to go into the land of Canaan. We do know that Moses did not obey God's commandment on one occasion. What happened to Moses? He didn't get to go into the land of Canaan because he disobeyed God's word. In our story today, when did those walls fall down? When the marching was done. When the shout was made. When the trumpets blew. And not before. Not one rock fell until all things were done according to God's plan. Now, one other example. Let's go back to Acts chapter 2. When did the Lord add the people to the church? After they had repented and were baptized for the remission of their sins. When they obeyed the commands that had been given to them by Peter and not before. Why do men think it's different today? Why have we taken something that God has given to us and have changed? I was talking to someone earlier today when we were talking about our class this morning, and he mentioned one of the religious groups. They have baptismal services 4 times a year. That's once every 3 months. So the day after that baptismal service, if you decide you need to be baptized, you got to wait 3 months to do it. And the command's already been made. You know, I'm not going to wait 3 months to follow a command of God, because I may not have 3 months of life left in me. You obey God when you get the command. Period. And we need to know that. God will save us. God will bless us with salvation. But only after we have believed. So what does the story of the walls of Jericho and salvation, what do they have to do with each other? What do they have to do with being saved today? Everything. Those walls fell because the people obeyed. We have our sins forgiven because we have obeyed. If we get to walk through those pearly gates into heaven after the judgment day, it'll be because we have obeyed. It won't be because we've done everything but one and we're waiting 3 months to do it. God's grace and our obedient faith is identical in these events. Salvation is not mine simply because God has offered it to me. Salvation is mine because there is something for me to do. No, I don't have to march around the church house. I don't have to shout when I walked around it seven times, and I don't have to blow a trumpet. But I have things to do to obey God. Today, my friends, if you are not a Christian, you need to hear God's word. I would like to think that you've heard it today. You need to believe what you have just heard. Yes, God is real. Yes, He has a Son, Jesus Christ, who came to this earth and died for us. Yes, He has a Holy. Yes, there is a Holy Spirit that gave us the Word for us to live by. Believe that. Repent of your sins. We're all imperfect people. We all need to change our lives. Do it. And yes, we need to confess who Jesus is. He is the Son of God. He is the one that came in spirit and flesh and gave His life for us. And yes, even the one that most of the religious world hate, baptism. It is a command. And it is not something you wait months, years, or decades to do. God gave the command. Peter gave the people that command, and they did it right then and there. And if you look at every conversion in the book of Acts, you will find baptism very rarely mentioned in part of what do I need to do to be saved. You need to believe, you need to confess, you need to repent. And baptism may not be mentioned in that, but before they leave that episode, friends, them folks are baptized into Jesus Christ for the remission of their sins. It never failed. And we need to know that. For the Christian who has gone back into sin, hey, we have a command too. And every one of us has gone back into sin. I don't care who you are. The command for you is to confess your sins. 1 John 1 verse 9. If we confess our sins, He is faithful and just to forgive us our sins and to cleanse us from all unrighteousness. James 5, 16. Confess your trespasses one to another and pray for one another that you may be healed. Friends, you and I, in essence, are walking around that city of Jericho. And we're doing it the way God said do it. And I want to tell you, my friends, those walls will come tumbling down if we will obey. And they will not fall until we obey. So this morning, my friends, if you need to come to the Lord, or if you need to come back to the Lord, do it now while we stand and sing the song.